Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I invite you to listen to a reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Paul founded the church in Corinth in southwestern Greece as part of his ministry, traveling to different places, and he got the church going, and then he moved on to the next place. But as he moved on from place to place, he thought about the churches that he had founded and occasionally wrote them letters to stay in touch with them. And those letters form much of what is in the New Testament. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as a spiritual people, but rather as a people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another says, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? Who then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants working together, and you are God's field, God's building. I am delighted to be with you this morning here in South Britain to share the good news with you and to just have the opportunity to worship with God and participate in your community today. I have been your regional minister for 12 years now and have worked with leaders of your church through a variety of different situations and transitions along the way. And I commend you for your faithfulness as a church, for your willingness and ability to persevere through challenging times and to rejoice and share goodness together in good times. I commend your leadership, and it is an honor to work with you and to accompany you on this journey. I want to bring you greetings this morning from our conference minister, Reverend Ken Salati, from the other members of the staff of the Connecticut Conference, from the 235, roughly, churches in the Connecticut Conference of the United Church of Christ, who are your partners in ministry, and from the 22 churches in the Litchfield South, and 14 churches in Litchfield South Association, who share ministry with you in this place, in this particular part of the world. I want to thank you for your generous support of the wider mission of the United Church of Christ through your per capita contributions and your contributions to OCWM basic support, through your gifts to the Neighbors in Need offering and other special offerings. Your gifts make possible ministry here in Connecticut, throughout the country, and all over the world. I also want to lift up this morning Silver Lake Conference Center, our conference camp ministry. We are hoping this year to increase the number of children and youth who participate in summer programs by 100 over last year. We are well on our way towards that goal, but it will only happen if people who are familiar with Silver Lake share the good news about Silver Lake with parents and with children and with youth and young adults who can benefit from that program. Silver Lake is a ministry that changes lives, and I encourage you to learn more about it, to make it known in your church and in your community, and to invite parents and children and youth to experience the joy of Silver Lake. Please join me in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with your love and help us to hear your word in the words of Scripture and the words that we share with one another, so that together we may truly be your church for the world today. In Jesus' name, amen. For most of my life, I have in one way or another been involved in theater, but never that closely. From acting in plays in elementary school through participation in a high school program, I have been involved in theater. I married someone who was involved in theater. Our kids were involved in theater, particularly our son, who has made a career of it and is now in graduate school. In fact, one of the reasons my wife, Diane, is not with me this morning is that she and her sister are helping our son prepare costumes for a play that he is costuming in Boston. But one of the things that I learned over the years by participating in theater and having children involved and just being close to it is that it isn't just that there are no small parts, there are no small roles. And that everyone who is involved in a performance or production has an important role to play, even though they may not be the person in the lead role or you may not see them. The folks who manage the stage and create the artwork, who do the music, who do the makeup, who prepare and take care of the building itself, their work is as important as the work of the stars. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth that he loved and founded and then moved away from, is trying to remind them in no uncertain terms not to focus too much on the stars, on the people who are center stage. At the end of one of the Muppet movies from about 20 to 30 years ago, when the credits come on, the long credits that are like 20 minutes long at the end of a film these days, Kermit and another Muppet, I forget which one, sort of make some voiceover commentary. And one of them asks, "Do you think anybody reads these things?" And the other one replies, "Sure, people read these because all of these people have families." And one of the things that we need to keep in mind is that whatever our role in the church happens to be, what we do is very, very important, whether people see it or not. And that we all have families, and we all have a church family. In the story of the church in Corinth, as I mentioned before, Paul started the church, he planted it, to use his language, and he moved away. Another pastor came along, a man named Apollos. He watered it. He took care of it. And it's not clear whether he left or whether he's still around. But whatever happened along the way, we have a sense from the letter that Paul wrote to them that Paul understood that their church was in some trouble. They were starting to fall apart. There were lots of conflicts about lots of different things. And so Paul writes to them to help them figure out how to get through a rough time, to reclaim the unity they once had, and then to move forward into the new ministry that God is calling them to engage in. In order to do that, Paul has to really name, in ways that might have sounded harsh to his readers and listeners, how things had gotten wrong. And one of the ways that they had gone wrong was that the members of the church had identified too much with particular leaders. There were two factions or two teams. There was Team Paul. There was Team Apollos. There might have been others. We don't know that. But the devotion to and attachment to particular leaders was dividing the church because they couldn't agree on who to follow. The way that Paul responds to this is by rising above whatever ego or self-interest he might have had, whatever concern he had for his own reputation, because remember, he was one of the two who was being praised in all of this. But he says very clearly, forget about following me, forget about following anyone else. We all need to follow Jesus. It wasn't Paul versus Apollos. Both of them had different roles to play, and the members of the church had their own roles to play. But the one role that all of them had to play was the role of following Jesus. This fairly straightforward story from a local church 2,000 or so years ago is very relevant to the church as a whole today and to each individual church. And it is particularly important for you as the South Britain Congregational Church to reflect on this. You are right now in a time of interim or a transition time, a time between settled pastors. And this is a time for you to reflect on who you are, on where you've been, and what God is calling you to become. It's a time when you are rightly focused on what's next, what's the future going to be like. And it is time for you to hope that that future will include a good, settled pastor for you who will care for your church in the present and guide you into the future. This is all good stuff. It's what people and organizations do in times of transition. But Paul advises us not to get fixated on finding a star who's going to lead us. Paul reminds us that the faithfulness of the church depends on everyone's perspective and involvement, everyone understanding their role, everyone setting aside their own personal selfish interest for the sake of the greater good. Paul uses two analogies to describe this process. One of them is the analogy of a field that or a garden that is planted and cultivated and watered, and then you have a harvest. The other example that Paul just kind of hints at here, but that he stresses more later, is the idea of a building. That in a building, different sections of the building, different materials, have a different purpose. Some hold it up, some protect the building from the elements, some cover the roof, and some are decorative on the inside or make the building on the inside a comfortable place to be. One of the questions, if you think about your church as a building, and I don't mean your church building, so please hear me on this, but if you think of yourselves, a community of human beings as a building, what kind of building are you? Are you a house? A place where everyone feels at home, where a family gathers and everyone is treated as welcomed, or as an honored, and as an honored guest if they're not a member? Are you a theater, where people are not just entertained, but moved to reflect on the important questions of life and to do great things? Are you a school, where people can learn more fully how to serve God and serve their neighbor? Are you a gym where people can strengthen their spiritual lives, grow stronger in their faith, and become better equipped and able to persevere through the challenges of life to bring God's love to the world. Now, the answer to that question, like the answer to most questions in the Christian faith, is all of the above. But it is important to have some focus to share your reflection time together. And it's also important to remember that what kind of building you are, what kind of community you are, requires a different kind of leader. A school, a gym, a house, a museum, they require different kinds of leaders. And the kind of leader that you will be searching for over the course of the next few months is a leader who will be the right kind of leader for the kind of community you are and want to become. Your focus as you move into that time of active search should not be primarily on the personality of the person, but on the gifts and skills that they have to lead you in the way that you need to be led based on your unique calling that is God-given. And before you can build, you may need to take a few things apart and do some remodeling. Which is not always easy work, but inasmuch as this is the season of Lent that we are entering, a time when we are asked to reflect on the state of our own souls and what we may need to take apart or even demolish within ourselves so that we may more fully become the people God calls us to become, we may need to engage in something similar in the life of our local church. Know that as you walk this particular journey, I and the other members of the staff of the Connecticut Conference walk with you as we have walked with you in the past and will continue to walk with you in the future. It is not my role or the role of the conference to define the future of your church, but to help you in conversation with God and with one another discern what that future is. It is not our role to find your next settled pastor, but it is our role to equip the search committee that you select to do its work with integrity and with effectiveness in a way that promotes the unity and well-being of the whole body of the church. We all have a role to play in the life of the church, and we all honor God when we play that role well, and when we play it in a way that honors the roles of others and that allows us all to work together for the future that God is calling us into. It is also important for us to let God play God's role too. So I would urge you to pray for your church. I know that you do, but again, in this time of when we are open to the leading of the Spirit, to be more intentional in your prayers and to really begin to step back from what you think your church might be and what you think your church might need, to be open to the voice of God and to the voices of one another, to discern together how God is calling you to be the church, both now and in the future. This is the challenge the church faces in our time, and it is one that we can meet, not because we're that good, but because God is that good. and God is the one who calls us together. God is the one who cares for the land and produces growth from it. God is the one who, with our help, builds us into the building that honors God and that meets the needs of our neighbor.